Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to another episode of Lighthouse Conversation with me, Marian Samuel. Today on the telephone, I have Dr. Dane Abbott, gynecologist and consultant obstetrician at Celeste Bird Medical Center. Welcome, Dr. Abbott.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, and Dr. Abbott, I am so pleased, I am happy that and delighted that you chose to be with us this afternoon. But first of all, I just want our listeners to get a feel of who they will be hearing from today. So, Dr. Abbott, could you speak a little about yourself, and was there a particular purpose for choosing this profession?
Sure. So, I'm born and raised in Antigua, and then I went away to Canada, where I studied and specialized in obstetrics and gynecology. And one of the reasons that I actually did that was because at the time I finished medical school and returned to Antigua in 1984, there was only one gynecologist on the island, and that was Dr. Frances Kelsick. And so I went to her and asked her if she needed any help, and she said, sure, I needed lots of help. And so I then went back to Canada, where I had done medical school, to specialize, spent another 4 years. And then when I came back in 1990, I joined Dr. Kelsick, and we opened a women's clinic together. Dr. Kelsick unfortunately passed in 2015, and so I have a partner, a new partner at the women's clinic by the name of Dr. Giselle Isaac Green. And so I've been in practice since 1990, doing obstetrics and gynecology at the women's clinic.
That's great. Now, yeah. Dr. Abbott, what or who is a gynecologist?
So a gynecologist is somebody who looks after females, especially females having to do with their reproductive organs. An obstetrician, which I'm also part of the of my studies, my specialty, is a person who looks after pregnant women. So the obstetrician looks after those who are pregnant, and the gynecologist will look after those who are not pregnant, who have female problems with their reproductive organs.
Okay. What should a woman expect from a visit to a gynecologist?
Right. So basically, we as gynecologists, we recommend women have what we call well women's visits. So before they get sick, they should have a checkup. Just like you will take your car in for servicing every 6 months or every year, we think a woman should come and have a checkup, whether she has a problem or not, every year. So an annual checkup is what she should have. And once she comes for a checkup, the first thing the nurse will do is check her blood pressure and check her weight and ask her to pass some urine. And when she passes the urine, we'll test the urine for sugar, make sure that she doesn't have diabetes, for protein and white blood cells in the urine, just to make sure she doesn't have any kidney problems or any infection in the urine. And then once she sees the doctor, she is me, then the doctor will ask her a few questions, how she's been doing, if she has any medical problems, if she has any concerns. If she doesn't have anything, any medical problems, then the doctor will then give her a full examination. And a full examination requires her to undress fully, and the doctor will then check her eyes, check in for if she has anemia by looking in the pink part of her eyes. If that's pale, we can say, hey, she might be anemic. Looking at the white part of her eyes, if it's yellow, she say, well, okay, she could have jaundice. Check her thyroid gland, which is in the neck. This is a butterfly-shaped gland in front of the neck. Check her lungs, listen for her lungs, make sure they're clear. Listen to the heart, make sure the heart sounds normal and there's no extra beat into the heart or the heart is not beating irregularly. And then check her breast, checking for lumps in the breast, check her armpits, check her abdomen, checking to make sure that nothing is enlarged. She doesn't have any large fibroids, any enlarged kidneys or any enlarged liver. And then if she is of age, and we normally say no, once a woman is over the age of 25, she should have a pelvic examination with a pap smear. And a pap smear is a test that we can talk about later on.
Oh, okay. So a woman's first visit to her gynecologist, what are some things that a woman should discuss with her gynecologist?
Right. So basically, any concerns that she may have, but I mean, the gynecologist will ask her a few questions. Mm-hmm. We'll ask her, well, one, is she sexually active? And if she is sexually active, does she plan to have any children right now? If she doesn't plan to have any children right now, is she using any birth control? If she's not using any birth control, then tell her the different methods of birth control that she can use. If she does plan to get pregnant, then the doctor will go through, ask her what her periods are like. Are they coming every month? How many days do they last for? Are they painful? Are they heavy? Are they light? You know, and then explain to her, well, when would be the best time for her to have sexual intercourse if she wants to get pregnant? And then, you know, he'll ask her, well, does she have any problems with her, any discharge that she's noticed, any abnormal discharge, anything that's itching her, that's burning her when she passes her urine, anything of concern, like a smell which she doesn't like from the discharge? Things like that is what the gynecologist asks this patient.
Okay. Just suppose a listener might want to know, why do I need to visit a gynecologist and I am not sexually active? What would your answer to that be?
Sure. Well, a gynecologist doesn't look just about what's going on down below the private part. So like I said, even though she's not sexually active, the gynecologist can still check to make sure her blood pressure is within normal range. Mm-hmm. You know, the gynecologist can check her sugar, make sure that she doesn't have diabetes. Can check her heart, make sure the heart is beating properly. Can check her breast to make sure there's nothing wrong with her breast. So the gynecologist can do other things in addition to checking, even though she's not sexually active. The gynecologist basically can do other things.
Okay, so you do encourage a visit to the gynecologist even before you're 25 years old.
Absolutely. So I normally say young ladies, young girls can actually be seen by their pediatricians up until the age of about 14, 16 years of age. After that, and a woman becomes, you know, a young woman becomes 18 years of age, that's when she can be turned over to a gynecologist. So from about 18 years of age, she needs to start practicing going to the gynecologist once a year, even though she's not sexually active.
What are the dominant conditions that mostly affect the reproductive system in your patients as you care for them?
Well, one of the most common things that I see would be what we call fibroids. And the fibroids are these growths, and they're benign. So you can have growths which are benign, which are non-cancerous, and then you can have cancer as well. So fibroids are these benign or non-cancerous growths on the uterus, and they actually form the muscle and tissue of the uterus. And what these fibroids do is cause the uterus to get bigger than it normally should. And because the uterus is now bigger, the fibroids can cause the uterus to bleed more. So the patients may have heavier bleeding and longer days of bleeding, or even more painful periods. So the fibroids can cause painful periods as well. Fibroids tend not to prevent too much pregnancies, but women who have fibroids and become pregnant can actually end up having miscarriages from the fibroids, or sometimes it can actually prevent them from getting pregnant as well. So fibroids is one of the most common things that we see in women, especially over the age of 20, 30 years of age, is when they can start to develop fibroids. So that's one of the common things that I see.
What are some signs that will tell a woman that it is time to see a gynecologist?
So if she notices anything abnormal, for instance, if she finds that her period is abnormally long, and we normally see a normal period should last between 1 and 8 days. If a period is going on for more than 8 days, then that's too long. If the period is very heavy, for instance, you know, she has to change her sanitary napkin every hour and it's soaked, you know, and that's a lot. If she passes clots with her periods, that's normally an indication that she's bleeding heavy. If she has severe pain with her periods, which means that taking stuff like paracetamol, Tylenol, Advil is not helping those pains, then that means that she needs to go and see the gynecologist to see what's going on. If she's having spotting or bleeding at times when she should not be having a period, that's not normal. If she's having bleeding when she has sex, that's not normal. If she has some sort of funny discharge which looks off color, has a funny smell to it, causes some itching and burning when she passes her urine, then that's not normal. So those are things which indicate, hey, you know, something is not right here. Let me go and get checked out.
I am Marian Samuel. Thanks for joining me today on Lighthouse Conversations. I have with me on the telephone line Dr. Dane Abbott, and we are discussing the practice of a gynecologist. Dr. Abbott, earlier up, you mentioned pap smear. What does that entail, and what is pap smear all about?
So basically, one of the common cancers we see in women is what we call cancer of the cervix. The cervix is the neck of the womb. So the cervix is actually found inside the vagina at the very top of the vagina. And it's the neck before you enter into the uterus or the womb. So many women, unfortunately, develop cancer of the cervix. Now, cancer of the cervix is a cancer which can be prevented. So it's a preventable cancer. So that's the first thing. Not too many cancers can be prevented. So lots of cancers, you can only catch them early and try and save the patient's life. But cancer of the cervix is one of the cancers that's totally preventable. And to try and prevent people from getting, women from getting cancer of the cervix, one of the tests we do is what we call a pap smear test. And a pap smear test involves the doctor inserting a special instrument known as a speculum. It looks something like a duck bill, and it's inserted inside the vagina. It's opened up. So the doctor can actually, or the nurse can actually see and visualize the cervix. And then a swab is taken from that cervix and sent to the lab. And the lab can then tell us, this cervix has changes on it which could lead to cancer. And if those changes are confirmed, then that person can be treated. So those, what we call precancerous changes, can be treated so the person does not end up getting cancer. So that's the importance of the pap smear. So the pap smear is a test which is shown to help women to determine if they have what we call precancerous changes, so before they actually get cancer. And those precancerous changes can then be treated and prevent them from getting cancer of the cervix. So the pap smear is a very important test that we do for women. Before time, we used to say, okay, once a woman gets to the age of 25, she should start having this pap smear test. There's a newer test now, which is known as the HPV test, because we have knowledge through research, found that there's a virus known as HPV, or human papillomavirus, HPV, which is responsible for at least 99% of the times when women get cancer of the cervix. That's the virus that causes that cancer. So once we can determine if a woman has that virus, we can say, huh, this woman is now at a risk for getting cancer of the cervix. Let us investigate her very closely and make sure she doesn't have any changes which could cause the cancer. Now, that HPV test has been recommended at actually start at age 25. So instead of doing the pap smear test, which we normally do at say 21, the HPV test now is being recommended to start at age 25 and is done every 5 years if it's negative. So if the woman doesn't have the virus, the HPV, we say the next test is 5 years later. But if she does have the HPV virus, what we call the high-risk virus, then she will then have to have investigations to try and find out if that virus is causing changes which could lead to cancer.
That's a mouthful there. But Dr. Abbott, what other tests are encouraged, or what other tests do you encourage women to do or to have done?
Yeah. So in addition to the HPV test, which is the sort of pap smear test, which checks for cancer of the cervix, what they're finding in the USA, which is our neighbor to the north, is that there's lots of young women now in the States who are coming down with sexually transmitted infections, especially gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis. And so those are tests that I would sort of recommend in women who are sexually active to make sure that they don't have any of these infections. Because those infections, not only can they cause short-term problems, such as the discharge and pain and stuff like that, but long-term, they can cause damage to the woman's fallopian tubes and can prevent her from getting pregnant. So things like chlamydia and gonorrhea can cause damage to fallopian tubes. Syphilis can cause damage to an unborn baby as well. So if a woman has syphilis, which has not been treated, and she doesn't know she has syphilis, she gets pregnant, she can then pass that infection on to her unborn child. And so that unborn child can be born blind and with other abnormalities. And so every pregnant woman will get a syphilis test to make sure that she doesn't have syphilis. So that if she has syphilis, she can be treated and it doesn't affect the baby. So those are some of the tests that we actually do. Other routine tests I would send a woman for is just to check a blood count, because like I said, fibroids are very common. Fibroids can cause anemia where the blood count is low. And so by sending her to get what we call a CBC or complete blood count, we can actually check to see if she has anemia. And then we can also check her other organs, such as her kidneys, how her kidneys are functioning, her liver tests, how her liver is functioning. So those are some blood tests we can actually do as well in women.
Dr. Abbott, just suppose today a woman found out that she's pregnant. She has never been to a gynecologist before. What is her next step?
Right. So once she finds out she's pregnant, I suppose she would have done some sort of test, a urine test or home test to see if she's pregnant. So her next step then is to call the gynecologist's office and make an appointment. And then once she comes in, the gynecologist will then go through, you know, with her how she's had pregnancies before. If no, you know, how this pregnancy has been going, if she has any symptoms. For instance, a lot of times women will have nausea and vomiting in the early part of pregnancy. Has she had any spotting since her last period, any abdominal pains, you know, and then examine her, do an ultrasound, and check and see if the pregnancy corresponds to when her last period was. So those are things. And then send her for the usual blood tests, what we call the antenatal screening, which are blood tests we do on all pregnant patients, checking her blood count, her blood type, HIV test, hepatitis test, stuff like that. All of those things should have to have done.
Okay. Dr. Abbott, what is a mammogram?
So a mammogram is a test, which is an X-ray, which is done on breasts. So basically, one of the common cancers that women get is breast cancer. Okay, and breast cancer is probably one of the most common cancers that women get. So you have breast cancer, you have colon cancer, then you have cancer of the cervix. So breast cancer, throughout the world, all over the world, not just in Antigua, breast cancer is the most common cancer that women get. And there's nothing much we can do to try and prevent breast cancer. There's some women who have such a high risk of having breast cancer that what they do is that they remove their breasts. Okay, they do what we call mastectomies, double mastectomies, to take off both breasts to try and prevent themselves from having breast cancer. And these women who are very rare have these very rare genes, which put them at very high risk for breast cancer because their mom may have had breast cancer, their sister may have had breast cancer, and so they're thinking, hey, I don't want to get breast cancer, so let me take off my breast. So that's not a big option for most women. So what we have is to try and pick up breast cancer at an early stage. What we advise women to do is that they should get familiar with their breasts and examine their breasts regularly, once a month, okay? Checking for changes, looking at the breasts, feeling. But once a woman doesn't have a family history of breast cancer, meaning that she doesn't have a close relative such as a mother, a sister, or a daughter with breast cancer, when she gets to 40 years of age, she should have this special X-ray, which is done at a hospital, that's also done privately as well, called a mammogram. And a mammogram, they use like two plates, and it's a bit painful, a bit uncomfortable. They squeeze the breast down. And I normally tell people they have to squeeze the breast down like a pancake, and then they take an X-ray of the breast. And what the X-ray will do is look for changes in the breast, which could be early cancer changes. Because I tell women, if you or I can feel a lump in your breast, and that lump is cancerous, that lump has been growing in that breast for at least 2 or 3 years before I can feel it. The mammogram, which is the X-ray, will pick up that lump even before I can feel it. So the mammogram will pick up that lump at an early stage. And once you can pick up cancer at an early stage, the chances are you can cure that cancer. If you pick up the cancer at a later stage, the chances are the patient is going to die from that cancer. So the mammogram is a test which we say should start at age 40 for those persons who don't have a family history, and is done every 2 years until the person gets to age 50, and then every year after age 50 until the person gets to age 75, 80, 85, whatever you want to stop doing the mammograms. For those persons who have a family history, such as a close family history, a mother, a daughter, a sister who have breast cancer, we normally start the mammograms at an early age, in their 30s.
Okay. Dr. Abbott, you have a private practice. What are the services offered?
So basically, we look after all pregnant people, so persons who are pregnant, and then any woman who's over the age of 18, because I normally would say, if you're less than 18, you should actually come in with your parent or guardian, because you're not quite of age to see me yet. But once you're over the age of 18, you can come and see me on your own. And we basically will do what we call the well women's visit. So somebody who doesn't have any problems, who needs to come in annually to have their checkups, make sure everything is fine. And women who have, you know, female problems, they have problems with their periods, they have problems with a discharge, they have problems getting pregnant as well. So those are things that we look at in my private office.
Okay. And where is your practice located?
So presently, we're at Fort Road. It's called Penny Lane, and it's just east of KFC on Fort Road. It's a blue building, and it's a Science Center Women's Clinic. And it has my name and my partner's name, who's Dr. Giselle Isaac Rain.
Okay. If anyone would like to get in touch with you, Dr. Abbott, what's the number for your practice?
Sure. So basically, we have three numbers, and unfortunately, my office is so busy that people always complain that the numbers are always busy. So you just have to keep trying. So one number is 462-4133. The second number is 462-4134. And then the third number is 562-4720. So once you call, my receptionist or nurse should answer the phone, and then they can just give an appointment today and time.
The good thing about it, every time I call, I always get through.
Lucky you.
Yes. Dr. Abbott, is there anything else you would like to close off with before we end our conversation today? Is there anything you would like the general public to know, especially women?
Yeah. I mean, so basically, in the next few months, one of the things that you will be hearing a lot about is trying to prevent cancer of the cervix. WHO, which is the World Health Organization, and PAHO, the Pan-American Health Organization, they have made a pledge that by the year 2030, we're now in 2023, by the year 2030, they want to eliminate cervical cancer or cancer of the cervix. So there are a few things that they're saying that women should do. So in addition to women having pap smears, and in fact, some of your listening audience may have heard of this program, which was started last year, where some of the clinics were offering HPV testing. And so they're now going to expand that HPV testing to the general population, targeting women between the ages of 30 and 49 initially, because those are the women who are going to be at higher risk for having changes which could cause cancer. And then in the next 5 years, they're going to try and screen at least about 13,000 of all women between the ages of 30 and 49. And that we hope we pick up changes and try and treat those changes before the person can get cancer. The second thing that you're going to be hearing about a lot is vaccination, because there is a vaccination against HPV, human papillomavirus, okay? And that vaccination is being targeted for 11 and 12-year-old girls. So that's the time that girls' immune system are better to take the vaccine, as the vaccine to be most effective at that age. And then you also want to make sure that you vaccinate girls before they become sexually active and get the virus, because HPV is a sexually transmitted virus. It's a sexually transmitted infection, the HPV, human papillomavirus. So that's what you're trying to do. And so you'll be hearing a lot of that in the next few months, because the government is going to go on an all-out campaign to try and get as many girls between the ages of 11 and 12 years of age vaccinated. And then we want to try and get HPV testing on women between the ages of 30 and 49, so that by the time we get to the year 2030, we should be able to at least eliminate or reduce significantly the amount of women who get cancer of the cervix. Because, like I said, cancer of the cervix is preventable. So once we can do the vaccinations for the young girls, get women screened by HPV testing regularly, we can eliminate or reduce the risk of cancer of the cervix.
That's good. Dr. Abbott, it was a delight to have you on Lighthouse Conversation. If our listeners did not know, well, they know now.
My pleasure.
Yes, I thank you for your steadfast service to women in Antigua and Barbuda and further afield, I am sure. God bless you and your staff at the Women's Clinic. Thank you very much, Dr. Abbott.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or Lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.